Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Thank you, Riley Gaines, for visiting our area as she's on a bit of a tour, if you will, known as Take Back Title IX. So she's part of a group, and I want to, first of all, what a pleasure meeting her. I'll tweet out the pictures, and thank you to my son, David, who I picked up from high school and kind of dragged him to this event in Montgomery County.
Oh, you brought
yesterday.
David. Ah, okay.
I did. So yeah. He got to meet a NFL football player who was also there, Frank, who I'll talk about as well. But focusing in on our area and these Title IX rules, I haven't talked about this enough, but there is, you know, this is a war that's being waged that we don't talk enough about. And so, first of all, Riley Gaines speaking at this Montgomery County event, packed event, with people who want to know more about how they can protect their daughters in our local schools. And there are some meetings I'm going to be telling you about in the upcoming days and weeks. Pay attention, because this impacts your school district guaranteed. And so listen as Riley Gaines, first of all, talking about, if you just to remind you, she is a national award-winning swimmer, and had competed against one Leah Thomas, remember, who was Will Thomas on the UPenn swim team, then was a fifth-year senior, a very, very tall, big person, right, 6 foot, whatever, 6 foot two, what have you, biological male. And Riley Gaines actually tied Thomas and was told at a podium, well, we really want Thomas, we want the photo, even though you tied, Thomas gets to stand on the podium with the award and make all the pictures because, you know.
It's ridiculous.
This is, yeah. So she was explaining some of the intimidation, what they went through.
This is the university that allowed this. This is the university that nominated Leah Thomas as this brave, honorable woman who has overcome so much persecution to achieve the seemingly impossible and win a national title. They nominated him as NCAA Woman of the Year, the most prestigious honor for collegiate female athletes. But UPenn, they told their athletes, you'll never get a job. You know that, right? Your employer is going to look you up and they're going to see that you're a transphobe if you speak about this. You know, you're going to lose all your friends. You'll never get into grad school. Isn't that what you want? It'll never happen. They won't even look at your application if you speak about this. They told these girls you're going to lose your scholarship. And yeah, speaking of that scholarship, remember you signed that. And when you signed that, you gave away your rights to speak in your own personal capacity. Remember who you represent, because it's not you. Whose name is across your chest and across your cap? It's ours, and understand we have already taken your stance for you. These girls had to go to mandatory LGBTQ education meetings every single week to learn about how just by being cisgender, they were oppressing Leah Thomas. They were the oppressors in this scenario, regardless of how they felt about the issue. 16 of these girls signed on to an email expressing their discomfort in the locker room to their university, to which their university responded back. I have a screenshot of the response. They said, if you feel uncomfortable seeing male genitalia, here are some counseling resources that you should see in an attempt to re-educate yourself. Of course, counseling resources provided by none other than the LGBTQ education system. They told these girls that UPenn went as far as to tell these girls that if they did speak up about this, and any harm whatsoever were to come towards Thomas's way, whether it was physical harm, whether it was emotional harm, whether it was self-inflicted, for that matter, they said, then understand you are solely responsible, and that would make you responsible for a potential death, and that would make you a murderer. And you don't want that, do you? No, you don't want to be a murderer. So I suggest you be kind, and I suggest you be inclusive.
Now, the point here, you think about this, and in no way is this anti-trans. So you know me, I'm a kind person. I've my background in working in newsrooms across the country. I've worked with and interviewed and been around people from every walk of life. And I often tell the story about a wonderful individual who I had interviewed and known with the Alzheimer's Association, who's somebody who grew up female and then transitioned to male, lovely person who I think is a dear, sweet person. This is not an anti-trans situation. This is a pro-female and pro-female athletes situation. In other words, why is it that in order to bring one group up, we have to step on and stand on and silence another group? See, that's not how it works. That's not equality. So sure, we can find ways to be inclusive and loving and kind and have a conversation and never, of course, bully anybody. But you see who the victim here is and continues to be. This is a situation where these girls were, and there are lawsuits, by the way, and Riley Gaines is part of a lawsuit with the NCAA, and this is unfortunate. That is, my dear friend Rich Scioli always says, the lawyers always win, right? And so this is a situation where these girls, 18, 19, 20 years old, felt intimidated, felt bullied, and felt that they had to be silenced. And you may remember I interviewed Paula Scanlon and hosted that great event that many of you attended, huge packed event in Bucks County, where Paula Scanlon told her story as a UPenn swimmer, where here she was a rape victim and now goes to this prestigious college, is a hardworking student, top student and swimmer, and has achieved this moment, and then is subjected to being, undressing and being forced to do this in front of a biological male with the male parts and the whole thing, okay, the whole apparatus. And she felt fearful. That's not fair. That's not right. And so now as we move forward, you think about this with these new Title IX rules having just gone into effect. We have school board meetings locally. This is happening wherever you are, if you're in Montgomery County, Bucks, Chester, etc. And I know I've interviewed moms and I'll continue to do that, but I want to explain this to you, that there are ways that at least you can file something where you can say, hold on, let's just take a look at this. Now, I will tell you, at many schools and private schools, what they've done, because the threat here is we're going to yank your federal funding if you don't comply and do exactly what we're told. And otherwise, you have to allow biological males to be in your child's school, in the bathroom, in the locker room. That's what we're talking about here, among the other things. And so in this, there are many schools that have said, that are private schools, they've prepared for this. And they've said, you know, we're going to have a locker room that is all gender and is sort of a generic locker room. That's what they have because they're wealthy and they've created these. So they have many private bathrooms, whatever your privacy issue is, right? And they've said there are, and there, you know, there's a gym in Montgomery County that I've gone to for years. They do this. They have the, because they have a swimming pool. So they have a family area where they have private stalls so that mommies and dads, it's mostly for moms and dads with your kids. But then the women's locker rooms and girls are for women and girls only. And then the male one. So that you have
three. There's three separate locker rooms.
Yes.
Okay.
And so there are many ways to deal with this. But the problem is,
so just to be clear, we're not talking people like getting naked in front of others then in a intersex kind of situation there.
Usually in the high schools, especially that I know of, and grade schools that are private schools, no, what they have is all girls locker room and all girls bathroom.
Yeah.
The ones that are sort of unisex or unigender are, generally speaking, they provide an area that you would go into a private stall and you could have privacy. And that might benefit many people who maybe have body shaming issues or maybe they have other issues, right? And so that really is sensitive to many different groups. But no, the goal here is that nobody would be, you know, dressing in front of each other.
I think it's fair.
And unless you're a swimmer, in truth, in my experience, a lot of the girls, much like guys, will wear they're like a boxer short that's more fitted, and the girls wear those, like the yoga pants that are the yoga shorts.
Yeah.
A lot of girls wear that anyway. So unless it's swimming, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think most people are, in general, not parading around naked. So that's what strikes me as a little bit different in the Thomas situation. Do you know what I'm saying?
Riley joined Dom one time and she was explaining that it takes like 40 minutes sometimes to get to squeeze in those bathing suits. They're so tight.
Yes.
So you're sitting there in the locker room and Leah's doing the same thing, and being forced to be next to that is something that just made her feel incredibly uncomfortable having to, you know, she's trying herself in a very provocative position, trying to get these things on while being next to something she's not very comfortable being next to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
not to go into graphic detail.
No, I mean, and how many of you, when this was going on during that time, and, you know, some of you were, I got to know some of the parents of these students at UPenn and got an earful. And so, you know, you think about this, the intimidation that they were pressured under. And for Riley Gaines, what a great spokesperson. So she's here in Pennsylvania, and I know that there are legislators. Unfortunately, this has become a partisan issue, even though they're trying to reach out to everybody to say this should not be partisan. Let's find a way, right, to protect girls and young women, but also not bully anybody, right? This is not an anti against anybody. This is just pro-girl, pro-woman, saving women's sports. So did you have one more clip of Riley? And what's this one, Dan?
Yeah, this is
the audio that I got yesterday at this great meeting. It was such an honor to meet Riley Gaines in person because I've interviewed her before, as we all have, you know, talked to her.
She discusses the impact that kind of emotional response has on young women from UPenn and how that kind of extrapolates into a lot of political issues.
Thanks, Jim.
It works when you're talking to a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-old girls, telling them they're going to be murderers. To I guess, kind of put a bow on it and leave you with some encouragement. First, understand it, Thomas is not a one-off, right? Like they want you to believe. That's what the Democratic legislators in the state capitol say. They say, well, it's not happening. You know, this is... We only have a few trans athletes in the state. It's not really happening. It affects such a small percentage of the population. This is a solution in search of a problem. That could not be further from the truth, okay? I trust the people in this room understand that because you all are the ones serving on the school boards. Again, you have the kids in these school systems. You know that's not true, but that's what they say. Thomas is not a one-off. I could sit here and rattle off 20 girls in this state who I've talked to that this has happened to, just off the top of my head. Yesterday, as I mentioned, we were down.
And so it's important that you understand that on a national scope, what's going on. And Riley Gaines was asked, she was answering questions, Q&A during the audience from many people, especially parents, grandparents were there, and some who actually submitted questions through neighbor, didn't want to be photographed because they're afraid of being moms being bullied and that sort of thing. But I'll take you to just watch something. There is an athlete, Blair Fleming, who plays in San Jose, California. This is a biological male, a transgender individual who now is sparking a slew of these forfeitures over the past few weeks. So Blair Fleming's team is undefeated so far this season, but is under scrutiny because many of these, you know, coaches and female athletes, what they're saying is that they fear for their safety playing up against somebody who is so much bigger and stronger than them. And so now there's another game that's a match that's coming up. So this is an active situation. Just to put this on your radar, nothing against this athlete. Good for Blair. Blair, you know, is somebody who's a champion athlete. The problem here is that even Blair Fleming's own teammate has joined in this lawsuit and is saying this is not fair that the teammate, a biological female, was forced to share housing, student housing, with a biological male. And again, same kind of a story, that you stifle woman, you are oppressed. Your First Amendment rights are completely, you know, violated here, according to the lawsuit. And so at the same time, many coaches and many teams are forfeiting because of the threat of lawsuits, by the way, by these students who fear that they will be injured. And there have been injuries reported. And so they're saying, out of safety, we cannot play against this team with this biological male individual. And so we're forfeiting the game. They have to forfeit a loss, but now this is something that's brewing. So NCAA being sued, and they're doing this through lawsuits. And so what will local schools do? I'll ask you the question, what will local schools and school boards decide to do in an effort to avoid the lawsuits are coming, because this is happening here. It's happening across the nation. And this is the Biden-Harris administration telling, essentially saying, you stifle, you shut up. And I'm going to ask you something. Where else have you heard this? Are you hearing this being talked about, being discussed? I'm not. Why isn't it in the news? You know why? Because it's a losing issue. Any parent or grandparent, look into it for yourself and then tell me this should not be political. There is a kind and good way to handle this. I'm not putting anybody down. You know me. But this is not right. And it's a violation of the constitutional rights of every female, whether you're a girl, whether you're a young woman. This is a violation. And we need to stand up for our girls. I'm not your voice. Riley Gaines doesn't want to be your voice. She is saying it is time for you to voice your opinion. Stand up now. Now or never, girls and women. So a lot of developing stories involving Donald J. Trump. In a moment, we'll have him reacting to this latest filing by Jack Smith, special prosecutor, and the revelations, new revelations, in court yesterday, as special prosecutor Jack Smith, of course, filing that huge filing. Remember, he was allowed, he had to ask permission to the judge, Tanya Chutkan. He had to ask permission if he could have a larger than normal filing. Donald Trump furious and firing back at this D.C. This is a D.C. federal judge. And so they made public, with a few redactions, yes, but this is now public. Most of these motions, and I told you earlier this morning on Kale & Company, even the New York Times, as they profile the situation, they're talking about the fact that it's really nothing new. You have some details, but essentially they're saying it's even the New York Times is saying it's not a whole lot that's new in this largely unsealed briefing. So the prosecutor is saying, no, this is new evidence. Yes, details, that's true, but the focus of it, not really anything new. So we're putting that, I just want to tell you what the New York Times is saying.
You did address it in an interview yesterday on News Nation.
Yes.
Can you respond to that?
He's a deranged person. I call him Deranged Jack Smith. He just lost the big documents case. That was the biggest of them all. They said the documents case, and they said that was the toughest of them all. Let me tell you, we just won it. And it was won strongly and completely, and it was a total victory in Florida. And he is a person who is trying, and he works for Kamala, and he works for Joe. This was a weaponization of government, and that's why it was released 30 days before the election. And it's nothing new in there, by the way. Nothing new. They rigged the election. I didn't rig the election. They rigged the election.
So the Trump's defense team has until October 17th to file their response to this huge mammoth filing, which already, you know, we're hearing that, of course, the Trump defense team is going to say, Your Honor, this is an unprecedented, it's a larger than normal filing. There's no way we can come back with a full response by October 17th. We need to delay that. And so that, of course, is expected. And even, like I said, the New York Times in their final line, as they say, after both sides have filed court papers laying out their opposing views, Judge Chutkan will decide which parts of Trump's election interference indictment should survive the Supreme Court's immunity ruling and which parts will have to be thrown out. But even the New York Times, as they talk about big decisions ahead, they acknowledge that this will most likely end up back with the Supreme Court. And it's expected that it's going to be thrown out. I mean, and so all of these headlines, ABC News, a bombshell. The only bombshell is how big the filing is. And maybe you like reading into those details and you can. Everybody's covering it. But let's listen as also, what else did Trump say in this interview? And I forget now.
Yeah, just coming up this weekend, he's going to be visiting Butler, Pennsylvania. I think he'll be visiting as well.
Yes. So he's talking about the security in this one, right? And
yeah, whether or not he's concerns. Nervous, yeah, worried about coming back.
And are you worried about safety, security concerns here this weekend?
Well, I'm always worried. I think that the White House isn't treating us very good. I get crowds that are 10 times bigger than anybody else, 20 times bigger than anybody else, and we're entitled to security. The White House makes it very difficult.
So, you know, would you be concerned? Does he have a right to be concerned that he feels as if DOJ, the weaponization of this, and in fact that they do have rules? Remember the Hillary Clinton situation with her bleached server and so on and so forth, and what happened? Remember the big announcements? As we know, that it was right before an election, and they said, you know what, it's our policy that this close to an election, we're not going to file anything, we're not going to do anything. And yet, in this administration, about a month before a major election, they are breaking their own rule. And this is unusual. There's more from Trump today, though. Right? Is there more? Or was that it?
No, that was it. That
okay, I thought you said there were three.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sorry about that.
So that's all right. I thought there was a little more, but I thought that was good that they got the reaction. And so, you know, for Trump, he's not speaking out of school here. I want to ask you something, though. When we talk about disenfranchised voters, those voters that Scott Pressler always talks about, who are Second Amendment people, maybe landowners, Amish, what have you, who feel that the system is rigged and feel that their vote does not count. When Trump, and he says, so he's just saying it again in this recent interview, that he felt that the election was rigged. Is that a mistake that he continues to say that? I don't have tangible evidence. So you know me by now. I'm a stickler as a news person. If I have tangible evidence showing something, look, do I have people constantly reporting things to me? Yes. But until I have all of this tangible evidence, I'm not going to say something to you without that. Trump, maybe he has briefings. He has knowledge of different things that I don't have access to. But is it, in a sense, is he confirming the fears of voters right now who are Republicans who would vote for him, where he's essentially, sending a message, well, it's a rigged system, so why even bother? Is that a mistake on his part? 855-839-1210. I asked the question. I have to break because we'll talk more about Trump. We'll talk more certainly about Riley Gaines and the effort by these female athletes to advocate and support girls' rights, women's rights. What happened? Where's the women's rights movement, by the way? Where is that? I mean, my goodness, talk about Me Too and what happened to Me Too. So we'll talk about all of that. But we have this great story of a chopper pilot, a hero pilot who's been going viral, who saved a baby, but also was critical of President Joe Biden's visit and why it was really interrupting some of those life-saving services and some of the frustration that was happening. So we'll talk to this hero pilot right around the corner.
I wanted to play some of the clips before the break, Dawn, if you wouldn't mind, because I'm still waiting to hear back from the pilot. Because how this works is we're in communication with Jonathan Howard. Jonathan Howard is a Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit guy, and you've probably seen him on social media talking about organizing the effort of private helicopters flying around the Carolinas doing some life-saving rescue efforts. He's sitting on the tarmac of the airport down there in Asheville right now. I'm texting back and forth with him. We're probably going to get him on here in about 5 or so minutes, but I just want to set stage real quick. Thank you.
That's why Dan's the best.
So Jonathan Howard, the guy that's doing this, is also going to be joined by Zeb Hadley, and he tells a story in the post here, and I just want to play back a little minute 30 clip of him setting the stage as to what's going on down there. Take a listen.
Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening from the ground, what I'm actually seeing, because what they're telling you is complete bullshit on the news, and these politicians don't have a clue and they're lying. Now, I'll say this now, I'll say it at the end of the video. The only thing I need from this video is helicopters. If I have helicopters, I can save lives. Without helicopters, I can't reach these people. It doesn't matter how many chainsaws and trucks I got, I can't get to them. They're 10 miles in, 20 miles, 40 miles in the mountains. There's no way to get with them or even communicate with them. I am literally flying around in a civilian helicopter looking for SOS messages carved in the mud or painted on the ground, and we're dropping down and saving them. What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-year-old baby. And all these government officials and social media They're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that like they have some like government help with that. And I mean, even USAA, I think it was USAA Today, wrote an article about it saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Like, without that civilian, that baby would be dead. And the old lady we went and rescued after that, she'd be dead too because she had one day left of oxygen.
My God.
No one was going to go get them.
And so these guys are heroes. And so this is where the media, and you hope it's, you hope that it's just misinformation or disinformation, but how is it there are some stations that are properly reporting that these are private choppers? The problem here is this death toll has now risen to more than 190 victims, and we're hearing tragically that these first responders who are trying to assist those in need, there are so many hundreds of people still missing, they cannot get to them. And in this case, thank God, Wilmington resident Zeb Hadley, who he referred to, helped save this 11-day-old prematurely born baby. And the 87-year-old lady he referred to in need of her oxygen. And so they are heroes among us, for sure. But they are not getting, these are private operators. They're not getting government help. They're not FEMA and that sort of thing. So we're hearing more and more, tragically, just this morning, that many of the rescue crews, and some of them coming, I've told you about this, they left more than a week ago, heading down there. Their rescue operations are turning into recovery operations. That's important wording. You know what that means, right? That it's no longer that you are, that you can hold out hope that you will rescue someone alive, but rather recover these bodies. Oh my goodness. Still fast moving water and out spinning in the Atlantic, this other storm that they're already saying is going to cause, you know, some, some dangerous storm surges and that sort of thing along the coast. And so we're watching that very carefully. I hope to God they don't get more rain, but that's the fear here. So hopefully we get our hero chopper pilot, hear about how you, because I know you want to know, how can we help directly with those who are the heroes in this situation. Hurricane Helene now, with the death toll rising and hope fading in the searches for this, what is now, it is a flooding disaster. So I know that there are 1,000 active duty soldiers joining the North Carolina National Guard and delivering those supplies, food, water to those isolated communities. That's the problem here. But we have hundreds of people missing, hundreds still missing. And so it appears that as now the death toll is surpassing 200, that's what we're hearing, more than half of the deaths in North Carolina, as I've been reporting, with hundreds still missing, this is historic and tragic, and it's exceeding what we saw in Katrina. That's what they're saying.
I hate to do this to you, Don, but sometimes in live radio this happens. We were talking just before the break, John Howard, the hero out there who's doing the helicopter effort of the private helicopters. I just got on the phone with him during the break, and you could hear the blades whirring in the background. He said, blades are fired up right now. He's got to get up in the air. There's something, you know, happening in this rescue effort. I guess someone needs rescue. So he said he's going to try to get on at some point during the show today. No promises, because he is a busy, busy man, as you can imagine right now. But we spoke to him during the break. Chopper noises in the background.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, doing it live. We will hopefully hear from him soon.
And you think about this. So whether it's during this, that's the beauty of being live and local right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, is that, I don't know how long his mission or missions are going to take. So hopefully he'll call in during the Dom show between noon and 3, or maybe during the Zeoli show this afternoon, you know, between 3 and 7. So we'll get him on. We want to hear from him and thank him.
And talking with him earlier, you mentioned that there's another storm on the way, and there's all this,
yes,
and there's weather. He's got to just take perfect opportunity when he has the weather to get up in the air to get there and search for, and what he's doing, he's looking for SOS signals, that kind of thing. And right now it looks like a good time to get up there. So just, it didn't work out.
And you think about that, people who, especially those, like we talked about, the 11-day-old baby had been born prematurely, and with this dire situation needed immediate aid. We had an elderly person who needed their oxygen, people whose medication ran out, people just in the water, hanging on, clinging to life. And you think about that.
Yep.
And please, you know, say a prayer, as we've all been praying for these people, that they will be and can be airlifted, rescued. And that's just it, that they are seconds away from perhaps this doom. And that's why this guy and his team and those who are heading there are real heroes. Also, I should say they're helping to transport doctors. So you have maybe medical facilities, where I know one of the stories was there was at least one hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina. They were trying to transport, bring the doctors to areas where people just need help and it's dire. And so they're setting up these makeshift hospitals or medical centers as they're just trying to bring the help to people where they have maybe a larger group, a small town or something. But it's a dire, horrible situation that they're facing. I know that the Georgia's governor, we're just minutes away, I believe, from some live updates, finding out about the situation in Georgia. And then we have, I know Joe Biden is touring the areas, North Carolina yesterday.
He's got to watch himself, though.
Yes.
Because just back to Jonathan, he put out a video yesterday, and I was mentioning the good weather that he has right now and the opportunity to get in the air, but this happened yesterday.
Right now, it's beautiful, it's sunny, and we should be out flying right now, but me and Charlie are sitting here on the ground waiting for our helicopters to get back, but we won't be able to go out probably till later this afternoon because Joe Biden is flying in. And they put up a temporary flight restriction in this entire area. So what we decided to do was put our search and rescue teams on the helos right now before the TFR goes in effect, fly up to the mountains, drop them off so they can go rescue people. And then our helicopters have to go even further north to another airport to get approval with a squawk code. They have to go there in person. They won't give it to us over the phone. That way they can fly in the TFR. They're not going to have enough time to come back here, get us, and then go do a mission from about 12 to 4 or so.
Four hours.
The TFR goes into effect, and there will be no active rescue missions going on at all. That's right. Zero flying whatsoever. So that's why we decided to put our boys, as many boys as we could, up on the mountain to start doing search and recovery because of that reason. So the TFR is supposed to be lifted sometime around 4 p.m., but you know how the government is, it'll probably go all day. So if, let's say it does end at 4 o'clock and we can actually lift off at 4 o'clock, at best, we're probably going to go do two rescue missions before it gets dark, and that's it. When we should be doing rescue missions all day because it's so sunny and nice out and we have good weather, but because of politics, we can't go do our job right now. Because somebody wants to come here and shake hands and kiss babies and take video that he actually pretends like he cares and probably offer everybody $300, $500 because of the hurricane damage. So that is, unfortunately, the real world politics of what is going here in North Carolina.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And that's just a lack of sensitivity by the staff. Why not, if they can't obviously fly and make these missions at night because they can't see people, then why not come in either in the evening hours or in the wee hours of the morning? Why not get them in place ahead of time, in other words, and think in that regard so they can work with those search and rescue teams? But President Joe Biden visiting Georgia today, and I know that there will be an update any moment now as we hear that he will be with Governor Brian Kemp, and they're going to give a mid-morning update there with highlighting the recovery efforts in Georgia from Hurricane Helene. What our hero pilot is talking about is yesterday. Joe Biden was touring in the Carolinas. And so during that, that's why in noon to four, unfortunately, they were not able to make any rescues at that time. And then, of course, Vice President Kamala Harris was briefed on recovery efforts. The Vice President was in Augusta, Georgia, and then did deliver remarks. Today she is in Wisconsin, so not in that area. I know that yesterday she was criticized by some of the locals as they were giving out, I believe it was $700 or $750 to, I guess, in the form of a card. And so trying to give money to people who, you know, have nothing. And so people are saying, really? After you've doled out all this Ukraine money, I guess you're out of cash. But I have no doubt that more will come. And we know that Congress, which is in recess right now, is there bipartisan calls for them to go back and make sure that they fund this in a special session so that they can make sure that these individuals in like I say, dire situations, which is, it's just horrible that our fellow Americans are clinging to life. And still more than a million people without power. But
they got money for everything else in the world right now. But if they could just get us helicopters, we could fly out there and rescue these people.
Ugh. I can't even imagine the level of frustration that these rescue individuals, that these, especially these chopper pilots. And again, these are private operators. And so the fact that they're out there and they know there are people, you know, clinging to a log or clinging to, you know what I mean? They might be in water.
Terrible. Yeah.
Their home, we've seen this where homes are and different, you know, areas are detached and floating down. It looks like our streets have turned into rivers, and it's fast-moving water.
You know, my sister-in-law, I went to that wedding out in South Carolina recently, and she actually had it was going to be a short honeymoon. They were just going to go out to Tennessee for a short trip out there, and they were driving out there when this all happened, and pulled up upon that highway that you see the pictures of that was just completely washed away, and they were sitting in, you know, completely stopped traffic. Obviously didn't get to see up close what had happened, but they turned around, came all the way back to South Carolina, looked online, and saw that the highway had completely washed away. Looks like a complete disaster scene out of a movie out there. It's frightening.
And isn't it strange? It just feels like, to me personally, it feels like the coverage on this is not as, I don't know, aggressive, let's say, national news media. So I know, I flip around. So right now, CNN, they're talking to James Carville about Trump vowing to revoke temporary protected status.
Go f*** yourself.
It's like Elon Musk.
Where'd that come from?
So CNN talking about politics, talking about Trump, and talking about Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio. You have that clip. Do you want to play that with Trump? Did we play that?
I have no idea where the Elon Musk clip came from.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't hit that.
Oh, I thought you did that on purpose.
No. Yeah, let me pull up the. Give me 1 second. I'll have that for you. I clicked away from it.
Elon living rent free in all of our heads.
Man,
that's
that
hysterical.
Was, yeah, okay. Elon, yeah. Okay, well, here's the Haitian clip.
Springfield is such a beautiful place. Have you seen what's happened to it? It's been overrun. You can't do that to people. They have to be removed.
So you would revoke the temporary protected status?
Absolutely. I'd revoke it, and I'd bring them back to their country.
This is the issue, if you remember, that they cut the microphone of J.D. Vance. The issue is of this app, right? The Biden-Harris app that they created so that, and this is a big deal, that we have a process, a legal process in our country, right, that you, when you apply for your asylum. So what the app did was that it means that you can be in another country, anywhere in the world. If you have this app, you apply for this, and the report is that they will send a plane, a taxpayer-paid plane, this is the claim, and they will send that plane for you and your family, etc., and pick you up and fly over the border, right? So you're not physically crossing a border, but that they will pick you up in the plane and they will bring you to America. And then they will, that's what happened with this particular group. So I will tell you, in Haiti, it's a horrific situation. Gangs have overrun the country, and it's violent. It's horrible. The kids are not in school. There are more than 100,000 school children. They're not in school because the gangs burned up the schools, etc. It's a disaster. And so I'm not in any way minimizing that situation. But the problem here is that there are people, asylum seekers around the world, who have gone through a proper process. And so this is a jumping in line. And what Trump and J.D. Vance have said, and others have said, that they're violating our laws, that this is not fair and it's not right, and they're not following the process. And that's in part what J.D. Vance was trying to explain. And that's when they caught his mic. Just want to clarify that. Yes, Dan? I thought you were talking to me. Oh, we need to take a break. Sorry. I know there's so much going on. 855-839-1210. We hopefully will get our hero pilot and hear about his mission. So we'll have that story upcoming. We have great guests for you. We have so much breaking news. And we'll bring you back local, too. But on that one, Trump making headlines here just within the past hour as he is promising, yes, he's going to remove these people with temporary status and deport them, including Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio. So we'll talk about it. 855-839-1210, the number to call. Got to talk about my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I'm due for some new windows, so I have a meeting next week. I'm really looking forward to that. Why did I choose Chapman years ago? Because I trust them. I trust them with my home, which is everything to me. And not only, you know, not only do windows and doors and siding, I mean, certainly it improves the energy efficiency of your home, but let's face it, it makes your home more beautiful and certainly absolutely boosts the value of your home, the curb appeal, all of that. So you can trust Chapman as I do. And for not just windows and doors, you think about siding, you think about shutters, all the choices that they offer. And then for me, on one of the, when we replaced, we took out some windows and they put in these beautiful, this wall of doors. And so I needed a little help with some carpentry. Expert carpenter Mike did a beautiful job. You would never even know that was a change, that it was something that was not existing. And then I opted to get a little touch-up paint, had the paint that I store in a closet. So, yeah, they could take my same paint, touched it up. I mean, it looks amazing and beautiful. And so that's the kind of work. Everything, by the way, up front, in writing. They are so professional and really paying attention to detail. You can call them. You can text 610-431-8898. They're local. They're like-minded. And Mike and Mark Chapman, they started their business more than three decades ago. So they are in the community, highly respected, men of integrity. And that's important, too. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Chapman, the name I trust. Any moment, we will certainly take our rescue hero chopper pilot, private pilot, making that rescue. Can't wait to hear about it. And so that's a breaking story that will continue to follow him throughout the day here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So I'll switch gears a little bit. We have a great guest ahead, and we'll tell you where Trump is tomorrow. Actually, he's in North Carolina for a great military veterans event. Great guest ahead. But I want to update you on what's going on. Central Beirut hit as Israel vows a very strong response to Iran. And again, pointing out to you that This is the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. That's why our schools are off today, colleges, a lot of businesses, right? Because this is a Jewish, important, high, holy Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah. And so as we think about the Jewish New Year, and locally, many synagogues, hundreds of synagogues across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and across the country, quite frankly, either hiring private security. This is such a sin, and it makes my blood boil, that places of worship are now, because of threats, because of this anti-Semitism, this Jew-hating sentiment that's allowed in America. This is America. These are our fellow Americans. And this has been allowed and it has been perpetuated. It's wrong, right? So here locally, I'm talking to friends who are like, yeah, we're either local police are helping out or private security. When's the last time you at your parish, your church, your place of faith, have you had to think about that? And just let that set in if you are a Christian individual, for example. How does that make you feel to imagine that you fear to go to your place of worship? And this is such a fundamental right that we stand upon in our nation. It is horrifying to me. And so we're all affected by this. But in Central Beirut, the latest here hit as Israel now vows this very strong response to Iran. This is the latest, as we know that dozens have been killed within the situation. Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon, in Gaza, as they try to root out these terrorists that are unfortunately within Lebanon. And we told you about that. We've talked about this a lot, that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying to people in Lebanon, remember what I've told you about Lebanon, that this is an area in the Middle East with the largest Christian population, right? And so you have many people here who are on the supporting Israel, right? And so they are not the enemy of Israel, but it's the enemy within who's hiding among innocent civilians and using them as human shields, you see. And so we've had two airstrikes hitting central Beirut this week. The second hit, we're told, a health society area. So we're getting those details as we talk about the crisis escalating in the Middle East. And this is on the Biden-Harris administration and failures.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.